Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Bamidbar. We Amir Tzeshem have six Divrei Torah. Just a quick overview of the Parsha. We have a detailed census of the various tribes, the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, so the counting and the numbers of each of the tribes. And we also have a discussion of the encampment around the Mishkan. We have three tribes on each side, three Shvatim on each side, for a total of 12. We also have the replacement of the Bechorim, the firstborn, by the Levim. Levim were now going to be taking over and doing the Avoda, the worship in the Mishkan. We also have the census of the Levim, and we have discussion of the family of Kahas, one of the families of Levi. They had tremendous responsibilities in moving the Mishkan, taking it apart, and moving it and its various kalim, various vessels, when Klal Yisrael would be traveling in the Midbar. So that is on a high level. We're going to start all the way at the beginning of the Parsha. It says in the first Pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Ol Moed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe. And it says specifically in the Midbar, Midbar Sinai in the desert, from the Ohel Moed. So that is where the Shechina was in the Ohel Moed. Well, why does it have to teach us specifically that this was happening in the Midbar Sinai? What's the Chiddush? What's the important message for us that we are now in a Midbar, that we are in a desert? So in fact, Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Tam Vadas brings two lessons from this. Number one, he says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu had his Shechina not only in the Ohel Moed, but is telling us the Ohel Moed, it was located in the Midbar, to teach us a lesson in the Ramesh Keshem Shamibur Humakam Hefker Vakol Yecholim Linkanish Sham. Just like the Midbar, a desert is open to all. Anyone who wants to come in is welcome to do so. So too, when it comes to having a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's the Shechina that was descended in the Ohel Moed. It's saying the Shechina was specifically in the Midbar to come to teach us that anyone who wants to come, anyone who wants to have a connection to Torah and to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is more than welcome to come and have a tremendous relationship. And that's why it says Bamidbar, that we have Moshe Rabbeinu speaking with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, and the Midbar is something that's open to everyone. Everyone is welcome to come as well. That is point number one. And message number two is that we ourselves as individuals have to act like a Midbar. What does that mean? That we have to be in a place that we are not going to be subject to the negative influences of people around us. If it's necessary for us to get away, we should not be subject to negative influences. And this is actually based on a Rambam Hilchos Deos that says that it's natural, it's human nature to be influenced by those around us, the people in our place. So if we're in a city and the city is a positive place and the people are positive, we'll have positive influences on us. But if it's a negative influence, or our next door neighbor, or people on my street in my neighborhood, they could have a negative influence on me. And he says as follows, that if that is the case, you need to get out of there. You can't stay there if you are being subjected to negative influences. And if you can't get out of that neighborhood, for example, you can't get out of the country because it's under war or under siege or you're not well, he says you just have to find a place that those negative people are not going to be around, even going out to a Midbar, even going out to a desert. So we see here that going to a Midbar, a desert and other places as well, away from people when there are only negative influences, is one of the solutions. And that's what we're learning here. The second message that it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there in the Midbar to teach us that if it's necessary to get away, to save yourself, do it. That is necessary. Moving forward to Vort number two, Dvar Torah number two. It's the very next pasuk. It says, "Su'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael." This is talking about the census that we should be counting Klal Yisrael. So we're going to focus on su'u. What is that language, su'u? Su'u actually has a dual meaning. This is going to be based on Rabbeinu Bachya, who brings a medrash that when we talk about nisias rosh, counting of the heads, counting of people, this is an implication, one of two things. Number one, it's covered in romamus, that it is covered, we're showing respect to that individual, we're uplifting that individual, that is somebody to be esteemed. That is the word of se'u, raise up, et rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael. In fact, we have a pasuk that says this in Divrei Hayom, Yerushalmim is a famous pasuk, Lecha Hashem Hamamlacha V'hamisna Selachol Rosh. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have the Mamlacha, that is the kingdom, the kingship, V'hamisna Sen, the raising up, the uplifting. So there we have it, one explanation of Se'u Es Rosh, raise up, is a positive thing, uplifting, showing cover to. On the other hand, it means effectively the opposite as well, removing the head. What does that mean? So we have a pasuk in Bereishis talking about in the story of Yosef that there was the baker and the cupbearer, and they each had dreams, and Yosef deciphered their dreams, and the deciphering of the cupbearer's dream was Be'od Shloshes Yamin Yisa Paro Et Roshcha. In another 3 days, Paro is gonna Yisa, remove your head. That's not a positive thing. That's not the same explanation of Se'u or Hamis Naseh, uplifting, positive, showing cover, but it's the opposite. He's going to take your head off. And accordingly, we see the dual understanding, dual reasoning, dual explanations of what this word is, Se'u Es Rosh, Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael, that it could be positive or it can be negative. It can be, on the one hand, that Klal Yisrael, we are the chosen nation, we are been promised Chaye Netzach, eternity. Nachen Hanhagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts us accordingly, much better than other nations of the world. We are the chosen, the Am HaNivchar. He does us great chasadim to no extent, unbelievable. On the other hand, that's when we're worthy. But when we're not worthy, it can be the worst. It can be the worst. So we see this duality of Klal Yisrael. It can be Se'u Es Rosh, as Rosh Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael. It can be uplifting if we merit it. On the other hand, if we don't merit it, if we're sinning, it would be the exact opposite. And obviously we have to make the effort to be the first explanation, Se'u, each individual, and on a communal basis to be worthy of being uplifted and being deemed and respected as it's only based on our merits. So Amir Tashem will be able to be Zocha for that. We are now moving forward to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalid, Rosh, the base, Avosav, who a man is chosen to each lead each tribe. And the explanation in the English of Rosh Lebeis Avosav, who a man who is a leader of his father's house. So what does that mean? So he's the leader. This is the person who's going to be appointed to head. Each tribe is going to have a head. He's going to be the leader, the governor of each of them. So the Kli Chemda explains as follows. What are we looking for? What are the qualities of this individual? He's going to be chosen to lead his Shevet. Shuhuyeh Rosh Lebeis Avosav. He has to be the head of his father's house. In other words, he has to be an individual that starts his own yichus. He has to have his own strengths. It can't be that he is relying on what his father and his ancestors did. They were great, so we're going to appoint him, even though he's not great. That's not the case. The case is he himself has to be an unbelievable leader. He has to have created his own yichus for himself and not relied on what those before him have created. And accordingly, that's why it says Rosh, the base of Asav, who has to be the leader of his father's family. He himself has to be the leader. He creates his own strengths. He has his own strengths, abilities, and he actualizes them, and he is creating his own personal yichus. So it's not about looking up at what people have done before you, my father, my grandfather, etc., and then simply relying on what they've done. But each person is responsible to create his own yichus. In fact, and we're going to continue, this will be vort number 4, but it's a similar, somewhat similar concept. So it's a Perek Aleph still, Pasuk Yud Ches, and it says in the Pasuk, V'yisialdu al mishpachosam, this is talking about the genealogy was based on their families, was according to their families. So there was a counting right after this of each of the Shvatim, and it was based on the families that you look at the genealogy. V'yisialdu, literally, they give birth based on the family. So a couple of stories, and then we'll call a lesson from it. So when the Rebbe from Rozhin, he was having a discussion when they had children, each had a child. It was the Rebbe from Rozhin, and it was one of his mechutanim, one of his in-laws, not his in-laws, but his child married these individuals' children, so they were in-laws together. And the mechutan started talking in detail about the great yichus he had, my father and my great-grandfather, and on this side and that side, and he was just talking about how great his yichus was. And the Rebbe cut him off a little bit, and it says, "Etzlenu yichus ein perushu rak yichus avos." When it comes to my family, we don't only look up at the yichus of those before us, but we also look at the yichus of the children. So significant, so important. It's not only about what those who have done before you, that's nice, but what have you created yourself, not only for yourself, but your family as well. In fact, the Magid from Mizritch, he would say, "My yichus, that's based on my son." They used to call his son the Malach. And his son would say, his yichus is his son. And in fact, the message here is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Mem Hei, Yud Zayin, Tachas Avosecha Yubanecha, that in place of your avos, your ancestors, should be your children. And the message here is, in place of looking at the yichus of those before you, of your avos, talk about the yichus of your children. Were you able? Obviously, it's not something we can guarantee. Not anyone can guarantee. Not that we can guarantee that if we put in so much effort into the children that they're going to come out as should be desired or would be desired or you desire. No guarantees. But certainly, the more effort, the more prone children are to come out in a positive way. So that's this message here that the Rebbe from Rozhin and the Magid Mizritch is saying, that don't only look up. That's nice to look up, but look at yourself, as we saw in the prior Dvar Torah, and look, how much effort are you putting into, and what are you creating in having beautiful children? That is number four. Number five, we are going to Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tesvav. It says as follows: when it came to the Levimi ben Chodesh v'mala tifkedem. So this is the counting, and this is the counting of the Levim. So what's very interesting, the counting of the non-Levim, counting of the Israelim, was from 20 years and above. And when it came to the counting of the Levim, it's from a month old all the way down, basically when they're born. And Rav Nissenboim explains as follows, that when it comes to the Levim, what was their task? They were the manhigim, they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, they were teachers of Klal Yisrael. When it comes to chinuch, if somebody is going to be a leader, somebody who is going to inspire and influence others, you have to start all the way from birth, effectively, from 1 month old, from all the way down. That is going to have how you can have the most best effect. You can't wait all the way till they're grown up or adolescent years to start chinuch to get the best results, especially the people who are going to be the manhigim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, which were the levim, the teachers of Klal Yisrael. It has to start all the way from when they're very young. We have to be mechanic, we have to be educating them. Last Dvar Torah, number six, it says in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yotes, talking about this family of Kahas. This is one of the families of Levi, and they were given some very important tasks in disassembling and then reassembling the Mishkan, and the various Kalim were transported by them. And it talks about the Kohanim have to do this, and the family of Kahas has to do this. And it says in the Pasuk, Kasam Ish Ish Al Avoda Sova Al Maso. You have to designate, allocate the various tasks, the Avoda, in the transference and the carrying of the Mishkan to each individual. And it's very interesting, the Midrashim talk out in detail, and the Mefarshim explain that if you were not Koveh, if you didn't give the various tasks and you left it up to them, unfortunately not everyone would receive the task that they so desire. This, many people want to do this task. I want to carry the Aron Kodesh. And other people would not want to do other tasks. And it could indeed lead to machlokis. It could lead to controversy, people fighting over, I want this mitzvah, I want that mitzvah. And accordingly, the Torah tells us, the Pasuk tells us, that these tasks were divided up by a person. Vesamu osam ish, ish alavoda. So each person, you are going to get this, you are going to get this, you're going to carry this. It was divided up to avoid any conflict between them. And the message here, says Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Tam V'Das, is even when it comes to mitzvahs, even when it comes to things that we are working, l'shem shamayim, I want to do the right thing, I'm doing this for the right purposes, you still have to be very careful that you don't come and get into a machlokas, you don't get into a fight over them. In fact, it could be, he doesn't say this, but it could be that when it comes to things that are Shem Shemaim, it's even more risky. People are even more committed to their opinions and their desires, and it could indeed come to a serious machlokas. And the solution, those people who are tsnuim. Literally, we define that as modest people, but it's people who don't want to necessarily flex their muscles. But they are people who are really going to be focusing on values. They should remove themselves from the controversy, and even at the risk, even losing the mitzvah. I'm not going to be able to do the mitzvah. It doesn't matter. The schar of avoiding machlokas is going to be even greater than having done the mitzvah. And an area, and the Griz talks a lot about this, he would warn people when they're availing, when they were mourners, and this is an area that it is commonplace to have machlokas. I want the amud, and there's the minyan, and I'm kavua, this is my place that I daven, and somebody has a yortzeit, no, go somewhere else, or two people are availim, and they each want it, and two people are yortzeits, and I was here first. This is an area that there is oftentimes conflict, and the Griz would tell them when it comes to saying Kaddish and the like, Havitur hu tikun yoser gadol anivkar, the vitur, giving in, foregoing your mitzvah, foregoing the Kaddish, foregoing being the chazan, is a much greater tikkun, is a much greater improvement, benefit for the person who passed away, even greater, and even much greater than actually saying the Kaddish and being the Chazan, Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, just stepping aside and letting somebody else do it in order to avoid a machlokas is going to be a greater, much greater benefit to the person who passed away than actually doing the mitzvah itself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.